I think any time in life where something doesn't fit, I'm like, rebrand it. Like, even sales calls, I'm like, I used to call them Do Love Therapy Sessions because I had a side project called the Do Love Project. Yeah. And I was interviewing my potential customers about what's stopping you from doing what you love for a living. So I'm like, these are not sales calls. These are Do Love Therapy Sessions. Yes. I'm like, that feels good in my body.
You know, they say women shouldn't be bossy.
We're out here reclaiming that word. What's so wrong with being the boss?
Bossy. Welcome back to Bossy. We are joined today by Danielle. This is one of Tara's BFFs and also just the most like badass businesswoman ever. So we're really excited about that. She's joining us today because we're going to talk about what are the roles of a CEO. What roles should a CEO be fulfilling in their business? Are you cut out to be a CEO? I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm not sure that I am. I'm not sure that that's what I even want to be doing. So we're going to talk about that today too. We're going to talk about our journeys. Let's see. You want to give us the down low on Danielle Leslie as she sits right here? We'll talk about her like she's not here.
We're going to talk about her like she's not here for a second. Danielle is one of my best friends. And also we're like business buddies specifically. So like we connect on business. Danielle is known as the millionaire maker. She has a company called Course From Scratch, and she teaches people how to launch courses, online courses, online businesses. Everything I know about launching online courses, I learned from Danielle. Danielle is my millionaire maker. She has made me a millionaire, really like teaching me all of this stuff. And she's earned over like $20 million doing this last few years, which is nuts. Danny, hi.
Oh my God, thank you. I love you so much. Thank you for that. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah.
Like, you ladies are killing it. This is amazing.
Well, we're so excited you're here. And this is why we say it every time. I'm like, you got to be on Spotify. You got to be on YouTube because you need to see the fit.
Oh, yes.
I'm just like a moment for
serving
the fit.
Today.
With the ruffles at the bottom, the details. I love it. I learned how to dress fly from Danielle, by the way.
God. Wait, really?
Yeah, 100%. Because she showed me like, I was like, wait, you could do that? I didn't even know that you could be in that kind of like projection of confidence and fun and playfulness. I didn't even realize that was an option. And I learned that from Dee.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think, and it speaks to how aligned you are. Like what I love about fashion is like, it's a way to be fully like mind, body, spirit, internal, outside. Mm. So what inspired me to even go do this was I said, my outside doesn't match my inside. I'm like, I feel like I'm a magical infinite being inside and my outside was not reflecting that. So, yeah.
How did you get to the place where you thought of yourself as a magical being?
Ooh.
So many people don't feel that way about themselves.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. Oh, and for listeners, like we've talked about Danny on the show before. Danny is Tara's friend that invested in coaching and like all of these things that Tara was like, oh, wait a second. She is just like skyrocketing. How is that happening? What's the difference? So yeah. I think that this is interesting that we now get to talk to you, this person who has been like a figment on the show several times now.
The Danielle Leslie.
I love that.
So when we talk about like what being a CEO even looks like, I think about when I worked at Google, like Sergey, the founders of Google, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, like Larry Page is more of like the CEO traditional type. And he was like in the advertiser meetings and like Google makes money from advertising. And so Larry's in these meetings being traditional CEO and Sergey's like riding around in a scooter, like coming up with new stuff. He's coming up with Google Fiber. He's coming up with like all the innovative stuff that Google's doing. He's just like ideating cool stuff. And when I think about my dream scenario as a CEO, that's what I think about. Just me like scooting around, coming up with ideas and cool stuff.
Yes.
How do you think, Danny, about like your ideal scenario as a CEO?
Oh, such a good question. So I think it's evolved over time. What we forget is CEO is just another identity that we get to try on and we get to fulfill and get to embody. And I think it's one of those identities we are handed to, sold by others before we even reach that point of embodying it ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think the first version of CEO for me mirrored what I believed a CEO to be, which was modeled by others. And it was a chief executive officer. And by executive, I mean you are organized, you have your meeting agendas, you're managing the team, you're showing up earlier on time. You are making plans, quarterly planning, very much in your masculine a lot of the time. And so I modeled that at first. And I remember hiring a coach who helped me. We followed the book Traction and we followed the Entrepreneur Operating System. And we're like, all right, these are the meetings, the cadence of the meetings, the agendas. This is our KPI sheet, the scorecard for every role. Like, it was very stringent. And so I tried that. I tried it on, and I failed, and I failed miserably at it. We would never, you know, do the things at the right times. And so what I realized at one point, I said, this is not working. Like, there's too much friction. It doesn't fit. So I said, what is a different thing I can try on that helps me show up as my best self? And so I just rebranded it. I think any time in life where something doesn't fit, I'm like, rebrand it. Like, even sales calls, I'm like, I used to call them Do Love Therapy Sessions because I had a side project called the Do Love Project. Yeah. And I was interviewing my potential customers about what's stopping you from doing what you love for a living? So I'm like, these are not sales calls. These are Do Love Therapy Sessions. Yes. I'm like, that feels good in my body. So for the CEO role, I rebranded it to a CIO. And the I stands for Chief Inspiration Officer, Chief Investment Officer, and Chief Innovation Officer. And I said, those are three things that I can do well and I can own that also contribute to the bottom line of the company and also the like 5-year, 10-year, the deeper and broader mission.
Now, what you mean by like what's investment, innovation,
and inspiration.
What do you mean by those?
Yeah. So first, inspiration is about you. I think we forget that the first person we need to sell on anything is ourselves. We think about selling to customers, to investors, to potential business partners. We forget that the first person we need to get buy-in from is ourselves. Mm-hmm. And one way to help us do that, so we have the belief to run this company and to wake up every day, is to be inspired. So it's my responsibility to stay in my most inspired state. That is where those quantum leaps happen because, you know, in the quantum field, it's everything everywhere all at once. It is all the possibilities are there at once. We have access to all the possibilities. And I know that that's my superpower. And when we access it, we all have access to it. Yeah. So that's why inspiration is so important.
Okay. Got it.
And I
you get to like inspire your team too with that energy because as a CEO or however you're as a leader, you infuse the company with your energy and your vibe.
Yes. And that is how, if you have the question as a business owner of how do I get buy-in from team members, whether I'm hiring them, whether I'm negotiating salaries, whether I'm having, I want more output for them from them and more investment from them in the brand, it's that. It's you showing up in your most inspired state. And they're like, oh yeah, let's freaking go. Like, let's go after this mission.
I have a follow-up question then, too, because I'm curious. Was all of this work for you reframing, or was it truly changing what you were doing in your day-to-day? Like, it sounds like some of the things that you were doing before you're listening, like scorecarding, quarterly planning, seems like I would assume those things still have to happen in some capacity. So is it that someone else is doing them now, or you just changed the way that you're approaching these things?
Yes, great question. So both. So for a time, someone else was doing it. So my head of ops was handling that.
Okay.
We also scaled it down. So it just wasn't as detailed and we didn't do it as often.
Okay.
And we leaned more into the vision and having the individual team members create their own vision, making sure they're tracking themselves.
Love.
And in the day-to-day, it did change and shift what I was doing. So I started, for instance, going to more conferences, hanging out with people like Tara, my girlfriends who are like fearless and amazing. I wasn't doing that before. When I was in the first CEO role, I was isolating. I thought that, okay, I've got to listen to the business podcasts. I've got to, get better at this, get better at that. It was like a place of lack where I'm not fit for this role. I'm not enough. And so I shifted into the speaking, the going on podcasts, connecting, because that's where my inspiration is. I shifted into even, you know, revamping myself from the inside out, working with a stylist to collaborate because I want the outside to match the inside. All of those little things started to become a part of like the day to day.
So you stopped trying to like force yourself into a specific kind of role and were like, let me just sort of be myself and make that be the role.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I started to play. So I think when I was in CEO mode, for me, that meant I was 100% course from scratch, 100% course alchemy. And that is mostly what I was feeding and researching to grow. When I shifted into CIO, I started opening my eyes again to the other industries. So that's when I started learning about Web3 and NFTs. And I started actually creating projects that were passion driven. And I realized there was a common thread that I could feed back into my business. So it's like, okay, with Web3, I created an NFT project. And it's like, why would you do that? And I'm like, why not? It was feeding my curiosity. And it was back to how can we leverage Web2 and Web3 to help people get closer to themselves? Because my course business, when you create a course, it helps you get close to yourself. So just through that, that's just an example of one thing that instead of spending 100% of my time on my core business, I'm like, what if I spent 30% on this other project and I collaborated with like a Black digital artist and collaborated with this other team? You know, how would that feed me in my other business?
And now for a quick word from our presenting sponsors. An office space should inspire you. And you can't do your best work unless your office is outfitted and equipped. That's where Walmart Business comes in. They've got everything you need to set your workplace up for success and help you build your empire. From office essentials like pens and staplers to the real non-negotiables like lighting that won't hurt your eyes and all the non-dairy milk choices your team requires for their morning coffee. And when your schedule's too full to squeeze in errands, don't worry. With Walmart Business, you can choose between shipping, pickup, or delivery from store as fast as the exact same day. It feels good to have options. Get all the things you need at the low prices you love when you visit business.walmart.com. That's business.walmart.com. Okay, back to the show.
I remember I wrote this tweet, and it was a couple of years ago, and it's really indicative for me of like where my mindset was at the time about what I thought a CEO should be. Let's put it up on the screen so people can see it. But the tweet was like, my job as a CEO is to like, A, make sure we don't run out of money, B, make sure everyone understands their job, and C, slowly remove myself as a critical part of the organization. And I remember, we've actually talked to him about him a couple times on the show, a advisor and mentor and friend, Joel Gassion, who runs Buffer, like replied to that tweet. And he kind of was just like, agreed. And also just want to like make sure you know that like you can make it whatever you want it to be, whatever feels best for you. And this was like this really senior CEO who like has multi-million dollar business, 10 million. I don't even know how many millions they do. Actually, it's a lot of millions. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting that someone who's in where I want to go is looking at this totally differently and is like, actually, just design it. Design it yourself.
Yes.
Design what you want. Like, we really think this. How do you say her last name? Sophia Amoroso.
Amoruso.
Okay.
Isn't it? Amoruso?
I don't know.
How do you Amoroso. Say
it? Amoroso. You're like, I was just
saying. Doesn't it have an A at the end?
I think it's an O at the end.
Amoroso. Girl, sorry. We'll get your name right next time.
You go, how do we say it now? I mess up in a different way.
I know. I follow her on social media, and I saw this post that she did about how, like, not everyone is meant to be, like, a CEO, but you can still be a boss and, like, define what that looks like for you. And she was saying for herself that, like, she didn't really like managing a bunch of people. And so in the next businesses that she started, she really structured for that and built around that because she was like, I don't want to manage a bunch of folks.
Yeah, I think I have resistance sometimes to conversation, or I experience myself. I observe resistance when we have conversations like this.
Yeah.
Because I think in my mind, like, I don't consciously think, like, I want to be a CEO. It's like, I started this business because I wanted to write and make stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't start it because I wanted to be, like, managing other people or having to make like long-term vision. Like, that stuff is fun, but it's only fun to me insofar as it just enables me to do the part that I actually like to do.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when we talk about this very formulaic version of like what it is or isn't, I'm like, I don't even like identify with this title really.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So, Danny, you gave us the inspiration part of the CIO, but like the I has three meanings, which I, by the way, I love too, because you were like, who says that each letter in the acronym has to only mean one thing? I'll redesign the acronym.
Girl, everything, everywhere, all at once.
All at once. That's such a good movie.
That is me. Like, I'm like, if there was a film that embodied me, if you were to ask someone, it would be that movie.
Okay. Have you seen this, Katie?
Yeah. What's the main character's name?
I don't know.
It's a crazy name. It starts with a J. I don't remember.
Yeah, and it's kind of like surrealist. Anyway,
yeah.
So
it's wild.
We have the inspiration part. Walk us through sort of the other eyes and how you think about that. I want people to get a breakdown.
Absolutely. So then you have the investment piece. Yeah. And so as the chief investment officer, you are really paying careful attention to your inputs and outputs. So where am I investing not only our money, but also my time, my attention? And then what is the output? What's the return on that?
Mm.
And so I think that for me, the big buckets I started to look at was team.
Yeah.
And I realized that as a CEO, I thought I needed to have a big team and that a bigger team was reflective that I was doing a better job as a CEO. And how I re visited that as CIO, I realized that I, too, am an individual contributor. What you described is, like, I'm an individual contributor. I worked at Udemy for, like, you know, 3 years. And while I was there, my manager was like, we want to hire a team under you. And I said, no, but Arch, I'm an individual contributor. Like, I just love the work. So I had to come back to what I enjoyed. And so I think as the investment piece, I realized that putting time. So the beautiful thing about the online business space, right, is that you can make it very efficient. So I had hired all these people to do all these redundant things to make it highfalutin, and I just went back to the basics. And it's like, we have a webinar funnel, we have ads, you just need a couple people for that. And at one point, I was doing all of those things myself, and I was happy for the most part. Like, I like writing my little quirky emails, doing my little bootleg posts that are not, like, professional, you know, but they work because they're me. So that's a big part of the investment piece. And I think one thing that helped me was realizing I didn't always need to invest in team members internally, but sometimes you invest in coaches or mentors externally, and they help you become more efficient and effective. So that was an investment that I also, you know, started to make.
What are some examples of those kinds of investments that you've made in yourself that you've liked?
Yeah, let's see. So I would say definitely a couple masterminds. So Sam Ovens, he had a mastermind. This was back in like 2018. I would say that was amazing. Investing in someone who at that time he was doing $20 million a year in his course business. It was similar to my model, but I got to go in person to his office in New York at the time and just see how he thought. You know, he only had 4 apps on his phone. He was really about managing his attention. So that was probably my favorite mastermind that paid back dividends that I was a part of.
Was it mainly the dividends you get, like, mindset, or, like, did you learn a specific things to do in your business? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, in my case, I already was doing 6 figures per month. So I had just had my first 6-figure month. So with him, it was actually more mindset. It was less skills. I had, you know, the ads down and all of that. So it was really like, how do you make investment decisions? How do you do tax write-offs? As an entrepreneur who's doing $20 million a year, like, what does your tax strategy look like? Yeah. And he was able to share all of those, and I was able to pick up on that.
I think it's funny that you just made that distinction between, I was already at 6-figure months, so at that point, it's mindset, it's not skills. Like, you drew that line in the sand. And I can imagine someone listening to this and going, wait, but how did you get the skills to get to the 6-figure month? I'm curious if there was any sort of coaching or help or, like, how would you answer that question? How did you get to that point even?
Yeah, great question. So combination, I launched my first online course in 2012.
Wow, you've been doing this for a long
time. Girl, I'm an old timer, yeah.
No, you're like an OG. Like, courses are like ever, you know what I mean? Like, that's wild.
I know. And so before I launched that first course, I took a course that was about, it was called Power Teaching. So it taught you how to teach online, and it was by Pam Slim. So I started by taking, it was $67. And I that was the only thing I could afford at the time. So it was $67. So first I learned from taking a course, and I learned how to teach online. Then I learned by doing. So I launched my first course called Press Play, and it was based on my experience from the summer and everything leading up to it before. Launched that. And then as I'm launching that, I enroll in another program that was $2,000. To, again, learn more on how can I hone this. So I enroll in that program. And what happened is I was able to see the community members and, oh, this is what they're doing to market their business. This is what they're doing there. And then finally, I went and worked full-time at Udemy. So it was a combination of let me get a course first, let me learn by doing, let me level up and learn from someone else who has the same business model that I have and invest a little more. And then now let me go to the institution that was the biggest marketplace of online courses and do this day in and day out and learn from them.
I love that.
One thing I want to add to that you didn't put in there, but I know about you, is when we met, we were like just getting started in some of this business. You were just starting course from scratch. And I remember you had this folder because you were studying. It was like a swipe file. You had this folder and you were like, here's this person's email that I like. Here's this person's landing page that I like. Like, you were so knowledgeable. You made yourself so immersed in like what the market was doing that you then were able to like put your own spin on it, but like reverse engineer the formula. And I think so many people, like, I actually think that's the best way to get started with something. Like, you, people think they gotta like reinvent the wheel and do something brand new. And in reality, like, somebody's doing something you kind of want to do. if you go look at what they're doing, maybe take some notes on it and then kind of cross out some things, say, I want to do mine like this. I want to change this. I want to change that. You have like a blueprint for it. And you've been really good at like blueprinting for yourself.
Mm. Wow. Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that actually lends to that third eye of innovation. It's like, you need to start, like for me, it was starting from a blueprint, seeing, okay, what is everyone in the market doing? What's Katie's way of winning? What's Tara's way of winning? What's this person's way of winning? Okay, great. What part of that resonates with me? And how can I modify that to, you know, really like lean into what I can do that's new?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
One of the things I've been trying to do each quarter for myself is like come up with a different thing that I'm working on to level myself up as a CEO or whatever kind of role I want to call it, right? So one of the things I'm doing right now is like trying to get myself and my whole team to write memos. Ooh. And memos, like sort of like, you know, Jeff Bezos is like known for this. He's known for like memo writing.
Or Bezos, as my mom calls him.
Bezos. Jeff Bezos. I love it. Like he's got this like really interesting system of like memo writing. And so essentially like what they do is someone who's leading the meeting writes a long memo about the topic. And the intention of that is like, you're going to sit your butt down and think strategically about this first. Mm. Give me all the information. Give me all the details. Think it through first. And then we're going to sit down at the beginning of the meeting and everybody's just going to read. And the reason we're going to read and not do a PowerPoint presentation is because I know that everybody's not going to do their homework and read it first. I know you're not going to do it. So we're going to sit down. We're going to read it all first, quiet time at the beginning of the meeting. And then we're going to dig. And as you're doing that, you're going to write notes in the margin about like what you think about this, questions, all those things. And he like likes that so much better than a PowerPoint presentation because PowerPoints are made for sales, convincing someone. Mm. But with hairy problems in a business, it's not like a matter of selling me on your opinion or like, you know, convincing each other. It's like, what should we do here? And so you write in the margins, there's these 6-page documents and everybody kind of gets into the details of it. I've been doing that with my team. It's like a new thing I'm like implementing as a CEO. And it's so good. Like, okay, first of all, when we started, people struggled. My whole team struggled. It was hard.
I was going to ask how that has gone. The implementation, right? Because it's, I think there's a framework around meetings where even if, I mean, bring in a PowerPoint, a fully fledged PowerPoint presentation to a meeting, even that is a level above where I feel like most meetings and workplaces happen. Usually it's just people are like, this is the time we're all going to come together and like sloppily talk through what we're trying to solve. So having to write a 6-page brief where it shows that you have spent weeks strategically thinking through the process and the problems that you're trying to solve. I'm curious if you've felt like what were the first briefs like that you were seeing?
Ooh, they were bad. My own briefs were bad and my team's briefs were bad. And I was a little worried because I was like, ooh, we're all showing our asses right now about like the shallowness of thought. Like our thoughts are not that thorough about it. We didn't really know where the number was. Oh, shoot. Are we tracking that? Or are we not tracking that? Well, how would that control? Like just they were messy.
Yeah.
So last quarter, I started trying this and I tried like talking about it. I pulled up a video about Jeff Bezos doing this. Like I was trying to tell everybody about it and nobody wanted to do it.
Of course not, because it's a lot of work.
I kind
of
just like asked like if anybody would be willing to do it and they were like, yeah, and then nobody did it. So then this quarter, I was like, hello, everyone. It is now the beginning of the quarter. I've prepared a brief for the meeting, and we will begin by doing it. So I started mirroring first.
Oh.
I wrote a brief about, like, what I thought needed to happen in the business next and sort of, like, some of my inspiration for next things, like, some of my ideas. I wrote a brief first, and I sort of, like, laid out some of the challenges. Here are the things that I think we should be doing. Like, here are the areas where I need help. And at the bottom of it was, like, questions for you. This person, this is your question. This person, this is your question. For everybody, this is your question. And so I had everybody read it. And at the end of it, their job was to take notes on the questions and then show up at the next meeting with their own brief response to the questions at the bottom. So it's like, don't even try to get your own brief. Just make a response brief to mine. Start there.
Okay. Well,
so that's how we started.
I like that.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
It went pretty well. Some people were really thorough in their thoughts. Some people were like, oh, sorry, I didn't get my homework done on time.
Oh, no.
And some people did it. And I was like, ooh, this is where like the thoroughness of thought was just weak. And what I realized was like, oh, if we want to get to the next milestone, we have to be better thinkers, better innovators, better ideators. We have to be better at this. I need to like build this muscle for myself and my team better.
That sounds really valuable.
Yeah.
That like makes me want to try that. Would you ever do something like that, do you think? Or is that not really your style?
That's interesting. So I would do a version of that.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I'm not the best at keeping something consistently like that going. What I love about what I heard is there's that consistency. We baby step. First you model, then you baby step, and then you continue going doing it over time.
Yeah.
I just honestly don't see myself sticking to that. However, I could see it for like a campaign. So if we have like a specific special launch coming up, we're doing a partnership course launch, we're doing a virtual summit, and then it's leading up to that, then yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back to the conversation after a quick break. Okay, back to the show. So, you strike me as someone that is very committed to your own kind of evolution as a leader and as a person. I'm curious what season you're in now.
Oh, this is the best question of the moment.
Good.
What season are you in?
What's the answer?
I'm like, you take that in whatever direction you want to.
Yeah.
So, I think for me, I'm still in a season of remembering who I am. I think of my life in three seasons. The first was discovering who I was, then creating who I was. And that's when I created the first version of this business. And now it's remembering who I am. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a season of more listening, of leaning into well-being. I think, I mean, just realizing that well-being is the new number one currency. And when I am my best through and through, then it's like whatever's coming down from spirit, or whatever highest self, whatever messages are coming in, there's not a lot of stuff in the way. And other people's voices and other people's opinions aren't as loud. So that's the season I'm in now. And I think it's in a season like this where that next quantum leap comes from. Because again, it's clear, like we have the access to all the possibilities instead of this is the linear A to B to C to D path. I already did that. That was my creating myself season. The remembering yourself is, okay, we're going to go to 3,000, then we're going to go to 2, then we're going to get to 10,500. So very much there, right now.
Are 3,000, 2,000, are those years? What are those?
They're years and or coordinates in a different dimension.
I love it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
You just like took us to different dimensions. You know what's really interesting?
I'm like, wait. We're in quantum now? We're in quantum space, everyone. Okay, hold on. We're in 10,500.
This is so typical for my conversations with Danny, where we like enter another dimension and we come back to this dimension. Really, like what I think Danny is really highlighting is how like life is not like this linear thing you have to plan. You just get to make that shit up. You get to create like what feels good for you. And like thinking about yourself, like I know Danny does this visualization of herself in what is Danny in other dimensions? What does Danny 3000 look like? Right. And I think that's what she's referring to is like, how do you sort of like, and remember, because it's not even like in the future necessarily. Maybe you
are simultaneous.
It's simultaneous because time is a construct. Right.
Yes.
So what does Danny 3000 look like? But one thing I just want to like point to in this conversation, Danny, is like, we have a lot of friends right now who are figuring out what I would call it like a, this is maybe not great words for it, I would call it a post-economic life looks like. Like after you hit the goals, then what?
Yeah.
Then what? And usually what happens after you hit the goals is you start thinking about these more like multidimensional views of yourself. How do I make sure my inside matches my outside? How do I make sure that future me matches current me? Like what, those are the questions that you start thinking about when you're thinking about like self-fulfillment. Because if you just keep going at like trying to hit the next goal, you just keep adding another goal, another goal, another goal. That's really not that fulfilling at all, right? Like being in touch with your spirit and who you are, whether that means that you design a whole new role for yourself called CIO, whether that means that you think about Danny 3000 in that year, like you really are sort of redesigning this. But I think a lot of our friends are in that space. Do you observe that too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us coming up in this generation, we had access to so many resources to build economically, to build capital that was way beyond our parents. So there was no preparing for this. So I never imagined I would be here this early in life where I didn't even have goals big enough for the goals I actually achieved. So once you hit it, it is kind of empty because I was trained to always go after the next accolade and the next linear goal.
Yeah.
So absolutely, it's a space of what is next. And I think the question I visit often is, what am I optimizing for? So at first I was optimizing for revenue. So I said, all right, we want to make the most revenue possible.
Yeah.
And then I shifted to, wait, I hit the revenue goals and I'm still working 50 hours a week because apparently a girl loves to work because I have been conditioned this way. Shout out to mom and dad. And so I then shifted to, okay, I want to optimize for working the least amount of hours. How can I design a 10-hour work week and maintain the revenue?
Yeah.
So I optimized for time. And then it was, okay, got that done in 3 months. Now I want to optimize for self-expression, for feeling self-expressed from moment to moment. Mm-hmm. That is when I will know that I'm successful.
Yeah.
Because that's when I can really bring what hasn't existed in the world that only I can bring.
And what does self-expression mean to you?
Yeah, so it can be from the fashion, the way I present myself. It can be the energy I give off when I enter a room, that self-expression, because I could be wearing all black sweats and you will still feel the vibes.
Yeah.
I love it.
I felt it.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
I'm like, what dimension are we in right now? I don't know.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, great. I think this is a really inspiring conversation for people to hear and really to understand that, like, they can design their life mm-hmm. the way that they want to. You don't have to be in this stuffy box. This box of, like, what a CEO looks like is primarily male already. It, like, looks mm-hmm. a certain way. So, like, maybe you already are not in it. Like, a lot of our listeners are women. They're, like, maybe not in this box. And so if you're not in that, you just get to design it anyway, right? You can design your own thing. So I would love to hear if you come to YouTube, we can kind of see people's comments. So if you guys go to YouTube in the comments, we'd love to hear one thing in your life that you're going to just design the way that you want to. You feel inspired by hearing Dani talking about sort of creating life the way she wants, and you're going to design one thing anew just the way you want it. We'd love to hear in the comments.
Yes. And thank you, Dani, for being here with today. Thank you for being here with us today and listening to this conversation. I'm feeling inspired. And we will see you again, same time next week.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.